Hey everybody. So today my nephew was at the playground, and while he was playing with a friend, his friend was swinging around, and the ride or the park playground equipment that he was on swung and hit him in the head, and he had a great big old knot, goose head, on his head. And so a family friend, or actually mom's friend, was down the road. Her house was nearby. She's like, hey, come by and get some ice and put it on. And she's like, cool. And she told her, pretty much reassured her, that's gonna be okay, he's good. And so she was okay, but, dad was like, oh, I don't know, I think you need to take him to the ER. He felt better about, making sure. And I totally get that, right? No harm. So she took him to the ER, and the doc said, yeah, he's fine, he's okay. She said, in this case, when it swells on the outside, it's much better. It's when it doesn't swell and, there was a significant trauma. Or blow to the head, that you need to be concerned, because then something could be going on inside, under the surface in the brain that we don't know about, can't see. And I thought, that'll preach. So she encouraged me to share it. So here we are. Here's my take on that. My thoughts immediately went to expressions of anxiety, frustration, anger, sorrow, and internalizations of the same. When we experience trauma, and I learned this as an EMT. I mean, I guess I knew it, but I didn't really know it. But anything medical is what's going on physiologically in your body. Anything traumatic is something that happens externally, right? You get hit in the head with something. That's a trauma. That's traumatic. That was something that happened to you that caused your body to respond in a way that would not normally have responded. Stepped on a nail, or got shot, or something horrific. But something happened on the outside. Fire, something requiring stitches is usually the result of something traumatic. Something medical, strokes, heart attacks, something based on your genetics or maybe your diet, something caused medically is not something that happened to you, but happened because of usually something you were born with, a predisposition to, or something that you may have created again, usually often times because of our diet, something that we do to ourselves, maybe a lifestyle, drugs or alcohol. And so then those are the body's response to, environment, or, again, a lifestyle. But trauma is something that happens to us. Trauma is something that happens to us. GSWs, as they call them in the first responder world, right? Or police world, or, gunshot wounds. When they happen, one of the first things they do when you arrive on the scene of someone who has been shot is you look for an exit wound. You want to find out, is the bullet still inside the body, or is there a hole showing that the bullet exited the body and it's no longer inside of the body? And so if you can follow the trajectory, is that word again, of the bullet, the path of the bullet, you can know, okay, it went in here and it came out here and there was only one shot. Yes. All right. We can verify there was only one gunshot wound, and we know it went in at this location, and it came out maybe on the backside or on the side. Then we can determine which organs are most likely or possibly in jeopardy or may have suffered some type of trauma, right? Some kind of outward harm, right? Caused by an outside force. And when we go through things in life, traumas, traumatic things happening to us, we're going to respond, or we should respond, to those traumas. And so is our response visible? Is our response, does it make itself, is there a manifestation of our response? Or is it hidden? Is there something that we don't deal with? Is there something that has happened to us traumatically, an experience? You know, so many of us, especially when, used to be just women, now as many young men, especially when they're younger, many of us have been molested in our lifetimes. That is a trauma. That's not something that should have happened. And so our response to that often determines whether or not that is something that is a threat or is considered a danger to us. Are we in a position where, you know, a physician or someone in the healing profession would be concerned about that, or would they be inclined to believe that we're okay? And so these are significant questions. So when I was 7 years old, at the end of my second year of school, I was in second grade, I was molested by a teenager who was 6'4", and over the period of the entire summer. That was traumatic. I didn't tell anybody. My personality changed. There were some outward signs, symptoms, signs. Those things are significant. And my mom noticed it, but she couldn't figure out what it was. She said I knew something was different. She didn't find out until I was 24, and that was because I slipped and said something, and she pressed me for a response. But that was trauma. And when I was in my 20s, I think I was 25, shortly after my father died, I began to have bouts of depression and just anger and just, you know, sorrow for no apparent reason. Again, no apparent reason. There was a reason, but it wasn't apparent to me. And God in his infinite might, he is amazing to me, allowed me to have my radio tuned in to a show that spoke to people who are molested and how in their third and fourth decade of life, in their 20s and 30s, it often resurfaces or surfaces, comes to the surface in the form of a desire to die or attempts of suicide and just deep, deep depression and darkness of the soul. And I just happened to hear it while I was on the radio. And I thought, wow, this is me. I was normally, you know, a happy person. I mean, I had a lot of stuff and going on, but this was far beyond what I normally experienced. And you know, I couldn't figure out why I was so down and feeling so just horrible, spiritually horrible, just feeling dark in my spirit, and like, you know, I just didn't want to live. I'm like, what is wrong with me? No smile. And what had happened was I saw the babysitter, whom I had not seen in literally probably almost 20 years. And I saw her for the first time, and she smiled at me. Hey! And her hey was as if, you know, like, it's so good to see you. Like, wow! And immediately it triggered something. And how many of us have had things in our physical being that were not a problem until something triggered it? My mom had had a tumor on her back. The doctor, the surgeon said, I'm not saying it was older than she was. However, it had been there for decades. And she had a fall, and that triggered some problems. And sometimes something will trigger a response, a physical response or a manifestation of something that's actually present, has been present for a long time, that's been there and going on, but you may or may not have been aware. And so her smile, this is the babysitter between second and third grade for me. As if nothing had happened, her smile, her, Maureen. Sent me back, right? Way back to 7 years old. And I love people. Jesus is just, when he saved me, he put love in my soul. Love in my heart. I love very easily. And freely. And it's easy for me to love. And it's very natural to smile at people. It's my initial reaction. And I did not smile at this woman when she smiled at me and called my name, which is not me at all. Not at all. It's just not like me. However, this woman knew that her grandson was molesting me. And I complained to her. I told her he was saying inappropriate things. And she was aware. She was aware. And my brothers, I had two brothers, one older, one younger, that I grew up with. And they would, they were with me, but, you know, not with me, you know what I mean? And so, I recall, especially in particular, one day, the house got quiet. And I started looking around, and nobody was in the house. And I heard this person, who was my quote-unquote predator, and that's all I heard. And so I was looking for my brothers. And when I ran to the front door, I saw the babysitter. And I saw both of my brothers' heads in the car. And they were leaving. She knew I wasn't with her. And she knew her grandson was not with her. And so I immediately ran to the bathroom and locked the door. For obvious reasons. So without her being there, without my brothers being there, without fear of possibly being, you know, seen or caught or whatever, God only knows what would have happened. And I knew that even at seven, that I needed to hide. And so this person was calling my name. I was quiet. And when they realized they couldn't get in the bathroom door, and he realized, rather, couldn't get in the bathroom that bathroom door, and I was in there. He began to pound on the door, and it was almost like a crazed animal. You know, the things that there was the back of the bathroom was the kitchen, the wall that shared the same wall, and behind or at the top of the bathroom wall. The back of the bathroom wall was a small window shared by the kitchen. And I remember hearing him just sweep everything off the top of the refrigerator, but it was huge. So there was no way he was going to fit through that small window. And so thank God the bathroom door held, the lock held, and I stayed in there for, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes. I don't know. Maybe an hour until I heard my brother's voices and other voices. And then I came out. But that was traumatizing. And I didn't realize how traumatizing until after this woman, who was extremely negligent, I would say even criminal in her behavior, spoke to me that day. And so then things began to surface, and my emotional state began to spiral downward, and I began to have some real issues. And so sitting in church one day, and I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I love Jesus, but the truth of the matter is, though we are spiritual beings having a natural experience, we are having a natural experience, and we do live in the flesh. And so while I was in church, I remember thinking, I can't continue on like this. I need help. And so I went to my pastor. I shared with him what had happened in my childhood, and he referred me to another minister. I went to that minister, filled out a questionnaire, and got counseling. And I know this is a little bit lengthy, and I really don't want them to be lengthy, but I just feel to share the counsel that I got. And it changed my life. And in one counseling session, thank God for this man of God, I was set free. Not immediately. I had to do some things. I had to take some steps, right? There was a prescription given, and I had to follow the prescription. And so he talked to me at length, and he said, I believe, based on his questions, you know, my answers to his questions and his, you know, his meeting with me, he said, I believe that if you would go home, get a babysitter for the kids, wait for a season or time when dad is not home, and you get by yourself for an hour or two, get a box of tissues, he said, and just talk to the Lord about this thing, everything, every aspect of it, let him know how you feel about it, he said, and then after you do that, begin to forgive. And I blamed the babysitter because she was supposed to be caring for me. They put me in her care because she was so protective over her own daughters. My grandmother and my mother thought that she would care for me with the same, you know, love and concern and protective care and custody, you know, would just take care of me, you know, protect me from hurt, harm, danger. She did not. And so I blamed her. But at the same time, I was prepared and ready and willing to forgive her, and I had to do that. And I forgave the young man. He was well, he was capable, he was in his teens, he knew what he was doing was wrong. That's why he would take me in the woods, in the basement, when nobody was watching. You know, he knew he was wrong. I blamed him, you know. And I don't know, I may have blamed myself a little bit, you know, maybe, you know, because, you know, you don't think, you know, properly when you're a teen. Didn't blame my mom, didn't blame my grandparents, or my grandmother, you know, who suggested. But I forgave them. And I cried out before the Lord. He said, cry it out, talk to him about everything. And just, I don't think he said cry it out. That was my turn, but he did say get a box of tissues. And so I had a time with the Lord with intentional forgiveness being my mission. And when I got off my knees, mission was accomplished. And much to my surprise, I was healed, really.
I was shocked that I was good. You know, I guess it's like someone who gets a miraculous healing. You know, one time I had a problem with my rotator cuff and I went to a service and no, there were no healing lines. Nobody was there. But he said, how many of you, we were just worshiping and it was, the spirit was so high. And I literally could, I had problems lifting my arm. And just out of the blue, they said, how many of you have been healed in this service? And I knew the only issue I had was with my shoulder, you know, my rotator cuff. And I lifted my arm and it didn't hurt. And I was, what? And I did it again, I did it again. And so for the next few days to come, I was amazed that forgiveness was so powerful. And so I forgave that woman, you know. And I will tell you, it set me free. You know, I relinquished all, you know, desires for her to suffer for what, you know, she did not do and for what she did and what she allowed to let happen to me. And it set me free. It set me free. And I came out of that deep pit of depression. And so anytime there's some type of outward trauma, we need to determine what was our response? And was our response, you know, in line with what it should have been? You know, at any rate, we need to just take inventory and determine how our bodies responded. And so anytime you don't see someone respond to something that there should be a response to, it's probable that they have internalized it, whether intentional or unintentional. That's not good. That's not a good thing. So, all right. I hope this has helped you in some way. Be encouraged to know not only is forgiveness a very, very powerful thing, but that God has created us in such a way that an action, there's a resulting reaction, cause and response. There's something is supposed to happen when there's trauma. And so we need to determine what impact it had and then determine, are you okay?